to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. All 7.5 years, I think I've been saying that just about every morning. Every time I do that, I think of a lady at a polling station. One year I was there voting with my wife, and you've got to show your ID, which is a good thing. My wife showed her ID, and there wasn't anything that took place there. And then I handed the lady my driver's license, and she said, "Robert Arthurs, is that as in Bob Arthurs of the radio program?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "Well, it doesn't sound like you." And I said, "Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program." And she said, "Yep, that's you." And so maybe one of these days I'll get a different way to open the program. But for now, we're going to continue to do that because we are thankful for WMIE. We're thankful that this program airs 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on 91.5 FM. It also transmits or rebroadcasts 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And you can get it on the TuneIn app or the WMIEFM.com webpage, whichever you might be able to avail yourself of. Those would be very helpful if you're traveling out of the area or you happen to be in an area where the signal is not all that strong. You can listen to it there, and you can turn it up as loud as you'd like, and it comes in nice and clear, I know, because I have listened to the programs on my computer at work sometimes just to hear what it sounds like. So we want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, but if you're in Palm Bay, if you're in Melbourne, Barefoot Bay, Rockledge, the beaches, wherever you might be, Mims, Scottsmore, they go all throughout the county, providing professional sales, service, and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and the electrical fields, and they've been doing all of that for over 40 years. They work in residential settings. They also work in commercial settings, and they provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538. I don't know if I said all that the first time. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. You will be glad that you called them. They really do a great, great job, and I recommend them highly. So today we are going to begin reading Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 15, and we are going to read down through verse number 18. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, 'No, for we will flee on horses.' Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." And so that is our focus verse as we are going through Isaiah 30, as we are discussing seeking justice. So here's what God said. He said, in returning in rest, you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. This is what God is telling a disobedient people, that if they would return to him, he could cause them to not be standing in fear, that they would not have to run, they would not have to flee, they would be able to stand, and they would be able to do so in strength and in confidence. There are a lot of people who go through their life and they are hoping for something. They don't have any confidence about anything that is going on. And I want you to know that God wants you to be able to stand confident in who he is in your life, and what he is able to do, what he has promised that he will do. And he doesn't lie. And so, as I've told you, I'm not the most imposing physique that you will ever encounter. I don't stand 6 feet tall. I'm not, you know, super muscular or anything like that. I'm not a stick figure. And you know, I don't carry around, you know, huge amounts of weight, but I carry around a little bit too much. It's not that I weigh too much. It's just that I'm too short for my weight. But one thing that I have gained through the years is a confidence in who God is and what he has done and what he will do. And so a lot of times I go into a situation that causes people fear and trepidation, and I just don't stand that way. I stand in the confidence of knowing who God is and what he's able to do. And that's not always a spiritual context. Sometimes it's in a practical context. And so I start talking to people and they start talking about why something can't happen. And this happened in the month of June. I was having a conversation and I said, look, I understand what your past is speaking to you about this situation, but I'm not concerned about your past in this situation. I'm here to tell you that God has given me the experience to know that he is big enough and able enough to handle this. And so let's not use the filter of your past. Let's use the filter of who God is and what he's able to do. And so they tried that a couple of times, and I interrupted one time, and one of them said, wait a minute, we're not using that filter anymore, are we? We're using a different filter. And so there can be things that seem insurmountable, seem like they are monstrous and that they are way too big. But I want you to know, you just need a different standard. You remember when we talked about, I believe it was from Isaiah chapter 28, it was in verse number 17, where it says, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet, or the weight on the bottom of a plumb line, that you can stand there and you don't have to worry about whether the standard is changing. Here, because we stand in the confidence of God, we don't have to wonder whether God is going to change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Behold, I am the one who was and is to come. That's who Jesus is. And so I've taken every success and sometimes the failures that I learned from, and I have enabled God to build up a confidence in me that I can trust him. If you're a singer, you don't want to be up there hoping you hit the note. That's the way that I sing. I'm hoping that I hit the note because I'm not a singer. Singers stand up there and they say, I know this song and I know that I can hit this note and I know it's going to sound good. And so whatever it is, I pray that God gives you an anointing of the Holy Spirit that whether you're a mechanic or a carpenter or a salesman or an engineer or a pastor or a housewife or a father or a mother or a student, that whatever it is, that he gives you not arrogance, but confidence. There is a difference. There is a difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance is standing in who you are. Confidence is standing in who God is. But that confidence will give you strength. So when I was growing up, I was always kind of the little guy. I wasn't very tall, wasn't very weighty. But one thing that I did discover was at some point in time, you had to learn to stand up. If someone was going to try and bully you, that they were looking just to intimidate you. They really didn't want to get all that messy. And so there comes a time when you have to stand up. And here in Israel's situation, they were being asked to stand up against a formidable foe. You would think that through the years and all of the stories that had been passed down, that somebody would remember, hey, remember when Egypt was the most powerful army? And look what God did bringing us out of Egypt. Does anybody remember when he parted the Red Sea and made a way where there wasn't any way? Does anybody remember how he parted the Jordan River and we walked across on dry land into the Promised Land, and now we're being attacked in the Promised Land? Does anybody believe that the God who brought us in is able to keep us where he wants us to be? You see, that's confidence. That's confidence. It's knowing who God is and what he wants. And he said, this goes back to some of the things, that some of the other attributes. They would not, and said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee. We will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. We don't want those. We don't want to depend on our ability to run away. We don't want to depend on our ability to hide from the enemy. Nowhere in the scripture are we encouraged to do that. If you do that, pretty soon you start looking at the size of the enemy and you start quaking in fear the way the Hebrew army did under King Saul every day that Goliath came out there and taunted them. And David, a teenage boy, walks up, sees the giant, and he says, y'all going to stand around and let that go on every day like this? I can go take care of that, you know, and you know, be back in time for dinner. And he did. And it wasn't an arrogance. It was confidence because of his experience with God. But these people, remember, they despise the word of the Lord. And so when God speaks, they still don't want to hear it, even when he has a promise to them that says, return to me, rest, you shall be saved. I will give you a quietness, a confidence that will be your strength. And they said, no, we won't do it. Many times people say they can't do something when in reality they mean we won't do something. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between I can't and I won't. And so God said, because this is your mindset and what are the mindset that I told you, you shall flee. And they said, well, we're going to grab our fastest horses. And he said, well, your enemy's going to be even faster. Verse number 17 is a important principle. It says this, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five, you shall flee. And so let me take you back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you will hear a very similar passage. Let's see. Hold on just a second. I lost my place there for a moment. This is what it says, and this is going to sound very familiar. It says in verse number 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, if you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and verse number 28, it says, for they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock, or capital R, had sold them, and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock is not like our rock, for even our enemies themselves being our judges, or themselves being judges, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. So a lot of people quote that verse, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight, or 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five, you shall flee. Every one of those promises that people quote is actually a vulnerability that the people of God would experience because of disobedience before their enemies. How, God would say, how could that possibly take place unless, because of your disobedience, your rock wasn't there to provide you the shelter and the protection? So I want to ask you right now what it looks like in your life. Are you in the fleeing? Are you in the defeat mode? Or are you living in the divine protection of God, and your enemies are in retreat from you? Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that you will never engage in a spiritual battle. What I am saying is that God intends you to be more than a conqueror, and that every spiritual battle should result in us submitting to God, resisting the devil, and the devil being the one who does the fleeing. That's what God's plan is. Every challenge that we face is another opportunity for us to behold the glory of God as he comes in and reveals himself in a manner that we've never seen him reveal himself before. So I appreciate the context. And I do believe that it can be a promise that we stand upon, but it needs to be more than a meme. It needs to be more than a cute little spiritual quotation that we pull out of our daily box of promises. It needs to be understood that there needs to be a vibrant, vital connection with God in our relationship, and that when that happens, we go forth in victory. When that doesn't happen, we're left exposed and vulnerable to even the most feeble of enemies. Do you realize that Peter was intimidated by a little girl because he had, at Jesus' trial, a little girl comes up and says, "You're one of his disciples." And he says, "I am not. I don't know what in the world you're talking about." She said, the way that you talk like a Galilean. He's a Galilean. You speak with an accent. You are one of his disciples. I'm not." She gathers some other people around, and he calls curses down on himself. And he says, "I am not." And about that time, Jesus looks up and makes eye contact with Jesus, because Jesus had told him that that was going to happen before dawn. Remember, I told you about the difference between standing in confidence and arrogance is in who is our fortification. It's not about our ability. It's about God's ability. And so whenever we are walking outside of obedience, even the most feeble enemy can instill a spirit of terror inside of us to the point that we are ready to turn tail and run. And so I came up with this saying a few weeks ago, and that is, don't let your faith be fragile. But, you know, if you are in a vulnerable situation, return to God, enter his spiritual rest, and sit there in quietness and confidence and watch God as he operates in your life. Let's go down to verse number 18. This is the seek the just. "Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you." Now, I understand that most people would say, "I don't want him to wait to be gracious to me. I need him to be gracious to me right now." Does he not understand how, what an emergency I'm facing? Why isn't he intervening? And I will tell you this, God is moved by faith. God is moved by faith, not by the size of need. That's why there are needs all over the world. Say, "Well, why doesn't God do something?" Well, a lot of those situations, there are needs that have been created by man. There have been problems that have been caused by man. And, you know, I can tell you one time I was working in the church sanctuary, and I said, "God, why did no one ever take care of this?" And God spoke to me and he said, "I've given you the resources. Why haven't you taken care of it?" And I got down off my ladder and I went and took care of it. Sometimes I will say this, it's never a God problem. It is always a human problem. Somebody drops the ball someplace. So God waits so that we will turn to him. Our spiritual needs, I've got to be careful how I say this, because people, you know, they a lot of times hear through the lens of offense instead of hear what people have to say with the heart that they're trying to say it. I'm not minimizing physiological needs. What I am saying is you can have all of your physical, temporal needs here on earth met, and you can not deal with your spiritual problem, and you will split hell wide open. God is looking for people who want him to be their God. They want him to be their Lord, not just their Savior. They want him to be their God, not just their provider. They want him to be sovereign, not just to be their healer. So God says, I'm going to wait for the purpose that I may be gracious to you, that he might pour out his favor upon you. You see, God cannot bless sin, and he doesn't bless doubt, and he doesn't bless fear. He blesses faith. He blesses obedience. He blesses covenant. And so sometimes, like a parent, he sits and waits until the child looks and says, I can't do this on my own. Apart from you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. The waiting of God is always with purpose. It's always with reason. And so if God has not acted the way that you wanted him to act, if he's not come in like the cavalry to the rescue right at this particular moment, I want you to say, you know what? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I tell you, when we have our relationship with God in the right place, everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how we got here in the first place. And all these things shall be added unto you. I know a lot of people that really seek God whenever they deem that they have an emergency or a crisis. And as soon as that crisis is over, bam, they forget all about him and they go right back to the destructive ways of life that they were living before. Soon as their finances are financial needs are met, bam, they're out of there with that relationship with God. As soon as their sickness is healed, bam, as soon as their car is repaired, you never see them again. God's looking for people that will walk in covenant with him so he can every day walk with them and dispense his favor in immeasurable quantities and qualities. Therefore, the Lord will wait for this purpose, that he may be gracious to you. That's God's will. He wants you to experience the favor and the provision of God. Let's seek him. Let's return and rest in him in quietness and confidence shall be our strength, so that God may be gracious to each one of us. That's what we're looking for. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This life just for us. Oh, forgive us of seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this place. Holy Spirit.